Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. This is the entrance antiphon that Mother Church gives us for this Mass on this third Sunday of Advent. This kind of break in this season of preparation, of penance, of mortification. This time where Mother Church invites us to prepare our hearts for the coming of Jesus. We can imagine the work that Mary and Joseph would have done when they got to the inn, to the stable, to prepare that place to receive Jesus. This season of Advent is set aside for that very same purpose, to receive our hearts for the coming of the Savior. And it should be work for us as we examine our hearts and our minds, the choices we've made, where we see where we've chosen against God and against His will. And so we need kind of this break in this work so we don't get depressed or discouraged, so this season doesn't become doom and gloom, but rightfully a season of waiting and joyful hope. And so we wear these rose-colored vestments and the rose-colored candle and the rose-colored flowers are here to remind us that we wait in joyful hope, that it's not all doom and gloom, that Christ is coming. He came 2,000 years ago. He'll come at the end of time. And in just a few moments with the words of consecration, He'll be here present among us. But Christ comes to us, and are we ready to receive Him? And so if we're living this season of Advent well, we can say that we need this day to kind of break free from that hard work of prayer and penance so we don't get distracted and discouraged. And so if you don't need this break, then maybe Advent's not going as well for you as it could or as it should. Maybe you haven't yet taken serious this invitation to truly prepare your heart to receive Jesus. But we still have time, so don't be discouraged. But Christ is coming. And why? What do we sing in the responsorial song? Lord, come and save us. This is why Jesus came, is why He's coming, is why He comes every day into our lives, to save us. To save us from what? Sin, death, slavery, all that bad stuff. All of that darkness in which the people were living in before Christ, and they had no way out. They could only hope for the day when the desert would bloom, and the lame would walk, and the deaf would hear, and amazingly, the dead would rise again. It was only a dream, a hope, but for us, it's a reality. Yes, Jesus did these things. So when John the Baptist sent his disciples to go ask Jesus, and Jesus says, go and tell them what you've seen and what you've heard, these were real historical events. That the blind were seeing, the lame were walking, the lepers were cleansed, the deaf were hearing, the dead were being raised. But with all things when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to the Scriptures, there's multiple layers. And so the physical acts that Christ did are a reality, but it's the spiritual reality that we should be more focused on. That when we're baptized and we're brought into the family of God and we're given the light of Christ, the light on which we're said, keep this light burning brightly so when Christ comes, we can go out to meet Him. Oftentimes, because of our sinful choices, we extinguish that light. And we're not able to see. And so we're blind. And we're crippled. The choices we make, we're not able to walk uprightly in the ways of God. We're lame. We can't hear God's voice. We're surrounded by so much noise in our world that the still small voice of Jesus is drowned out. The dead, mortal sin kills us. We are spiritually dead if we commit a mortal sin. So these physical things and these spiritual things are a reality for us, that Christ has come to reverse all of these things. And this is why we're begging out, Lord, come to save us. So it's an objective reality, historical reality. He came and did all these things. And so now the choice is ours. The invitation, the challenge, the opportunity for each one of us to make this a reality for us. But oftentimes, we ask the same question of John the Baptist. Are you really him? Jesus, are you the real one? Or should we wait and look for another? Oftentimes, because of the choices we made or the choices that the people around us have made, we're not able to go and tell the things we've seen and we've heard. Because the miracles of Jesus aren't evident in our lives because we've chosen to not be part of his life. And this is what the season of Advent is all about, is that we are waiting in joyful hope that the darkness in our lives doesn't have to be, that we don't have to surrender to the slavery of sin, that we can live in the freedom that Christ died and rose to give each one of us. And this is why we rejoice. And when the church invites us to rejoice, it's not just a feeling of happiness. It's a confident assurance that the promises of Christ will come true. So no matter how dark my day is today, I can rejoice. Because that day is coming when Christ will reign in my life. And the blind will see, and the lame will walk, and the lepers will be cleansed. The deaf will hear and the dead will be raised. This will be a reality. This will be our everyday experience. And if you've already experienced this, then go out and tell everyone what you've seen and what you've heard. The world is in desperate need of your witness, of your testimony. Y'all expect me to tell you these things. They out there need you to tell them. And the they that's out there might be the person at the table next to you at dinner, the person you share a room with. The world needs to know that Christ is the one, and we need to look no further, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He has come to save us, and in this we can rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice.